looking at the moment at things that God never said. And today we're looking at the topic, God won't give you more than you can handle. God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, I want to tell you about a situation where I got more than I could handle. When I was only young, I probably was only about 8 or 9, and I'd had a tough day at school, that, you know, like those tough years of grade 2 or whatever, you know, the tough years. And I went home and I thought, oh, I'm going to drown my sorrows of a day in a tub of yogurt. And I opened the fridge, no yogurt. So I said to my mum, where's the yogurt? And she said, oh, your brother ate it. What was worse is my mum said he could have it. I've been thinking about that yogurt all day. I was so devastated, I decided to run away from home. So I walked out the door and started to walk into where my dad and other brother worked, and they picked me up on their way home. I was devastated. Now, some of you today are probably in the middle of a bit of a tough time in your life at the moment. If you're not in the middle of a tough time, you've probably just come out of a tough time, or you're about to go into a tough time. It tends to be how life works. But here's a question. Does God want you to be happy? That's an interesting quandary, isn't it? Because no doesn't sound good, does it? God doesn't want us happy. But God wants us happy, yet things go wrong. What do we believe? That's what we're going to look at. Throughout life, we go through all these different stages. And maybe you, like me, have sometimes thought, you know, you might hear someone that's younger than you complaining about something, and you go, oh, you just wait till you get to my age. You may say it or you may not say it, but you think the things that worried us when we were 8 years old, we wish wouldn't it be good if our 8-year-old stresses were our biggest stresses today, and so on. You know, like, I hear a younger person saying, oh, I'm a little bit sore from working hard in the garden or whatever. And it's like, as you get older, you just get sore from living. We go through hardships at different stages when we've got babies in the house. If you've ever had a baby in the house, you know that that's a tough time. And there were some nights where I felt like there was more going on than I could handle. Luckily Kelly was there, because I would have just thrown the baby outside. And no. I'm not that mean. But we go through, one of the realities of life is, and Kelly's mentioned, you know, how Brian's passed away this week. The longer we live, the more people we start to have to say goodbye to that die, and it's always hard. We go through stress, we go through depression, we go through headaches. Aren't headaches and paper cuts two of the worst things in the world? I remember sometimes when I get a headache, I think it's more than I can bear, but it's only minor compared to what other people get. Some people suffer with arthritis, some people suffer from loneliness, some people suffer from fear. And there's probably been many of you have probably got to a point where you go, if I just, one more thing and that's it, I can't handle it, I'm at my limit. And maybe you've, you know, sometimes as Christians, we're really good at giving, I guess, advice that may seem helpful at the time, but it's not overly helpful. You know, when things are going wrong and someone might say, well, if God closes a door, he'll open another door, or maybe he'll open a window for you, or something like that. And it's like, well, got to be able to get up and out of the window, don't we? You know, God helps those who help themselves. Well, God won't give you more than you can handle. You might be at your wit's end, and then someone says, well, God won't give you more than you can handle. And you're probably thinking to yourself, I'm at the end. I've already got more than I can handle. Now, where does this saying come from? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this, verse 12 I'm reading from. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So the verse there is actually talking about temptation to sin. And so God's saying, when Satan tempts you to sin, he'll always provide a way out. But it's not saying that life won't throw you things that are more than you can handle. It's just saying that he'll provide you strength in temptation, but there's a lot of other stuff that will happen in life that will be more than you can handle. And if you read through the Bible, you see this over and over. In the Old Testament, we can see how Gideon felt inadequate, how Moses was overwhelmed, how Esther was afraid. King David, who wrote a lot of the Psalms in Psalm 38, he says this in verse 4, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart." Have you ever felt completely exhausted and crushed? I'm sure some of you have been there. You may be there now. Even Jesus, the Son of God, just before he was crucified in Mark 14, we read that he began to be deeply distressed and troubled, and he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Jesus himself was at a point where the burden was just too great for him. "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death." Have you ever been that low? You may have been. It's not a pleasant place to be. And if you read in other spots, it'll say that Jesus was under such stress that his sweat was dripping like drops of blood. He was completely and utterly at the end of his human resources. So what did Jesus do? What should we do when we get to that point? When God has allowed us to have more than we can handle? Firstly, we need to depend on God's presence. Jesus knew that he couldn't carry this burden of being crucified alone. So what did he do? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane to seek God's presence. He knew he couldn't do this on his own. He needed God. Now, when things are good, we tend to forget about God. When Geelong wins premierships, I don't tend to pray during those games. The 2007 grand final where Geelong won by 100-odd points, I didn't pray once in that game. I didn't have to pray. But in 2008, when we were starting to lose, I was praying a lot. Didn't work. We see it in the Old Testament when the Israelites had left Egypt and they were Moses had gone up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And suddenly, they forget about God. They suddenly free. They've been calling out to God, "Free us, God." God frees them. And then the first thing they do is they turn their back on God, build a golden calf, and forget about him. But when things get rocky, we call on God. Jonah. God called Jonah to go preach to the town of Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't like them. I think there were a lot of Collingwood supporters there. So he didn't want to go there. So he ran away. Eventually, he ends up on a boat. The boat gets in a storm. He realises it's probably his fault. So he gets himself thrown overboard and he gets swallowed by a big fish. And then in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you." When he had hit rock bottom, when he'd got to the point, I guess when you're in the belly of a great fish, you're probably at a spot where you've got into a situation where you can't handle it. It's more than you can handle. He calls out to God. God hears him and God delivers him. So where is God when life is hard? Well, God is right there with you in the midst of that. You might have seen that beautiful poem, The Footprints. It's in a lot of shops and there's these two sets of footprints and this guy's looking back at his life and then he notices in the worst times of his life, there's only one set of footprints and he says to God, "God, where were you when life was at its worst? You abandoned me, did you?" And God says, "No, it was at those very moments, there's only one set of footprints because I was carrying you." It's when life is hard, God is right there with us. And we should never let the presence of a storm cause us to doubt the presence of God. When things get too much to bear, that's the very moment we should call on God. In Psalm 145, verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." God is there in the midst. When the darkest moment of your life, God is there. And it's often in those darkest moments that God does his most miraculous work. When we read through the Bible, most of the great miracles happen at a point of great hardship. There can't be the miracle of healing unless there's a great illness to start with. The whole miracle of salvation came through death. Now, as human beings, we all love the mountaintop experiences. We all love to be on those highs, don't we? Aren't they good? When we're feeling good and we can get all, oh, isn't life fantastic? And then we want to avoid the valleys. But wouldn't it be better to be in a valley with God than in a mountaintop without him? Often when we're on the mountaintop, we forget about God, but it's in the valley we remember he's there. The good thing is that God's with us wherever we are. We just have to be conscious of that. God says he will never leave us or forsake us. He never will abandon us. He never will turn his back on us. So we need to, when life gets hard, we need to depend on God. And then secondly, we then need to experience his power. Experience his power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about this thorn in his flesh. And we don't know exactly what this thorn in the flesh was. But he says that three times he pleaded with God to take this thorn away, this thing that was obviously holding him back, that was frustrating him. He says, "God, take this thorn away." Now, if anyone deserved to have that thorn removed, surely it was Paul. When you think of the miraculous stuff that he'd done after becoming a believer in Jesus and how he'd gone around the world and brought people to faith in Jesus. He'd done so much for God. He'd suffered for God. He'd been through so much. He had the faith. The faith wasn't an issue for Paul. And this thorn was obviously enough that it actually was more than Paul could handle at times, that he pleaded with God, "God, take it away." And the reality is, God could have said, "Yes, Paul, I hear your prayer. The thorn is gone. You're healed. Your thorn is gone. You're healed." And we all will face situations, if we haven't already, where we plead with God, "God, there's this situation in my life. I need your healing, or I need healing for this person, or I need this miracle, or I need this done." And God says no. God says no. And for some people, that's enough for them to turn their back on God completely. They go, but why does God say no sometimes? Well, to Paul he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Doesn't sound right, does it? But when God's saying here to Paul that when you're weak, I am strong. When you have more than you can handle, that's the area that I can operate in. I'll be your strength. I'll be your power. I'll be what you need. I will help you get through it. It wasn't a mistake or that Jesus chose people like fishermen and tax collectors to be his followers. These are people that were untrained and not scholarly types. He could have gone and got some priests and some quite intellectual sorts and had them follow him. But people wouldn't have seen the miraculous change in their lives. They would have gone, "Oh, well, they're just smart people." Jesus chose the what was considered the lesser people of life so that his power could be seen through what God did through them. And that's why God loves it when we go through. He loves to take our weaknesses and display his strength through them. Until God is all you have, you'll never realize that he's all you need. Until God is all you have, you'll never realize that he's all you need. When we talk about God and we talk about having faith in him, we talk about having faith in Jesus. And faith is about, what is faith? Faith is about believing in what we can't see. It's knowing to be true what we actually can't prove to be true. That's what faith is. Faith then, of course, needs us to operate in a realm where we don't have control of the situation. You see, if we've got control, we don't need faith because we know we can handle it. I'm sure when you all sat down today on these chairs, you didn't sort of go, oh, I hope they don't give way under me. I hope they don't collapse. You just sat. You know that they're right. But imagine if these chairs were invisible. And then someone said, just sit there, and you can't see anything. Just sit there. Suddenly your whole process becomes very different, doesn't it? Be good if we could do that, wouldn't it? Be funny watching people walk into the chairs and go, well, what's going on? But if you can't see what you're sitting on, you've then got to either, you'll either do one of two things. You'll either refuse to sit down because you don't trust the person that's telling you to sit down, or you'll probably do it, but you probably won't go blonk. You'll probably go very gradually and go, oh, there is a chair there. When we get to a point in life when it's too much that we can handle, that's when our faith in God really kicks in. See, it's easy to have faith when things are good, but faith is not truly at its strongest until things are going completely and utterly wrong. It's a bit like, I think of faith often as, I remember when I was at school, we went on a camp, and part of this camp was we had to abseil down a rock face. Has anyone ever done abseiling? Yeah, a couple have. We had to rock climb up at first, and that was painful enough. But then you get up to the top, and then they say, okay, they tie you, you've got all the ropes on you, and the cliff's here, and you're facing this way, and there are ropes, and someone's holding it. Well, they reckon they're holding it, I don't know. And then they say, now just slowly step back. And you start to step back. And then you suddenly have one step where suddenly the ground's no longer horizontal. It starts to feel vertical and you start to feel yourself tipping over the edge. Anyone remember the first time they ever had that sensation? Who enjoyed it? Who hated it? I hated it. And suddenly you're fully... You're horizontal, the ground's vertical, you're horizontal, and the only thing between your back and the ground is oxygen and whatever else is in the air. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. The only thing that's stopping you falling to your death is the rope and someone that's holding it. At that moment, you're placing your whole trust in that rope and in that person. Well, I went down the first cliff, and I went, got to the bottom and I thought, well, that wasn't too bad. You know, with rock climbing, that's hard work because you've got to keep pulling yourself up. But when you go down, it's gravity takes you. So the next cliff we had to do, I'd got a little bit overconfident. Not that we gentlemen tend to do that overly much, do we? But I thought, I'll go down faster this time. And I started to go down and then I kicked off the wall a bit hard as I was going down. Next thing, suddenly, because the ground's still hot, vertical, suddenly I was vertical and my feet were facing heaven and my head was facing earth. And I was just hanging there, not even against the, I wasn't touching any ground. All that was holding me was the rope and the person on the end of the rope. And suddenly, it was at that moment, even though I was suddenly petrified, that I realized that actually the rope did have the strength to hold me. I didn't know that for certain until suddenly I was hanging there by nothing but the rope. I was suddenly in a situation where I had more than I could handle, and suddenly the rope was enough. And that's what happens in our life. When we hit those rock bottom moments or those hardships come against us and we just think, this is, I don't know how to deal with this, I'm overwhelmed. That's suddenly when we realize God's rope is enough. Now, it would be great, and sometimes God does it, that he'll perform a miracle and suddenly everything turns right again. But more often than not, rather than giving us the miracle, he gives us the strength to get through the hardship. And the reality is, as we go through that hardship, we become a stronger and better person at the end of it. It may not feel like it while we're going through it, but we become a stronger and better person. That's why it says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because we are relying on God, and God gives us the strength we need. In Romans 8, Paul says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God will help us in our weakness, and he will use whatever's happening to us to make us a stronger, better person. And sometimes I found over the course of life that down the track, suddenly God places someone in your life going through the same hardship that you went through maybe 5, 10, 20 years ago, and you're then in a situation where you can help them because you've been through it. God will use that for good. So remember, when life gets too much, when you get given more than you can handle, remember God's presence. Turn to him and experience his power. If you're going through hardship today, I encourage you to seek him now. And we're going to sing a song, How Great Is Our God. How Great Is Our God. This is a great song to sing when we're really battling. The splendor of the King. We have in the Salvation Army places where you can come and pray. And if you want to come and have someone pray with you, you might want to come and stand or kneel at one of the table or the benches here. And someone will come and pray with you. And just pray for God's strength to help you through the scenario that you're going through at the moment. Let's sing together.